The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike. On the line with me is another person involved with FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I have on the line the director of the Orlando area FCA. This is Mark Rickman. Mark, thanks for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's a joy to get to talk to anybody from this great organization. Mark, I've worked with FCA in North Central Florida in the Gainesville area for a number of years under both Don Malden and Noah Wilbanks. And I think you know both of those guys, don't you?
I do know both of them very well. They're just great servants of God.
They really are. And Noah is now leading the charge up there. But here in Orlando, I've also talked to John Evans and also Jeff Duke, and that was pretty cool. And just recently got to speak with Cameron Duke, his son, who is a football coach at Edgewater, and I know you work with them as well.
I do, yeah. Cameron is just doing an incredible job over there at Edgewater and really turned the program around on the field, but I think more importantly is just doing so many things off the field with coaches, Bible studies, and taking teams to Guatemala on mission trips, and just recently went to one of our FCA team camps down in Lakeland and had a number of his kids accept Christ. And but yeah, it's just incredible the impact he's making there in College Park.
He's a great guy, and it's very clear to see that the impact that he is indeed making. And when you talk with him, as I had a chance to do, you can see why that impact is happening because of this man's heart for God. And also along with him, of course, was the pastor at Church on the Drive, Josh Plant, who himself is working with the team as a chaplain. So it's a 1-2 combination there that is really effective.
Yes, and yeah, that's really part of our strategy, is to really have at least one church connected to each school in Orange County. And right now we added 2 new high schools in Orange County this year, so we're up to 22 in the 8th largest school district in the nation. And so really, you know, at these high schools, they have about 30 sports, some a few more, a few less. And so our desire is to get churches involved, and would help provide character coaches for each of the teams. And so Josh, as a lead pastor, has stepped into that for the Edgewater football team, and just is able to go in and make just build relationships with kids, and then you see them come to know Christ, and then those kids, you know, just are baptized at their church, and they can come and get plugged in and be discipled.
You know, it is really an exciting thing, and I can't think of a single ministry that is doing what you guys are doing at the level you're doing it around the nation. And beyond that, I know that there's an international flavor as well, but the fact that you guys have such an open door to not only college campuses, which you, there is that, and has been for many years, but especially when you think about prep sports and high schools, the formative years, those incredibly important years prior to someone turning 18 years old, if they make or have a relationship with Jesus, if they make a commitment to God by the time they're 18, there's such a greater opportunity for that person to live a successful, powerful life for Jesus. There's something about those early years, isn't there?
Definitely, yeah, and it's, yeah, and I think you're on the flip side. As they get past 18, it's just the stats, you know, for ones that come to know Christ are a lot less, and not that it doesn't happen, but yes, I think that's why, you know, the ministry is so critical, that that these student athletes and students can hear the gospel and really be drawn to Christ.
So tell us, before we get into some of the work that you do with FCA in the Orange County area, tell us how you came to know the Lord. What part of the country did you grow up in?
I'm actually from Orlando. Just not a lot of us.
That's right.
Floridians, native Floridians. But yeah, I was born in Orlando. My dad, it was a high school basketball coach for 32 years. He coached at Boone High School in Orlando, and has a gym was named after him back in the mid 90s, and really was a tremendous impact on my life. And I followed in his footsteps. I actually started coaching myself my second year in college and coached for 30 years before coming on staff at FCA. And but I came to know Christ at I was 10 years old at First Baptist Orlando, and really just really responded to the challenge that day from the pastor, and went forward and joined the church. But more importantly, asked Jesus to be the Lord and my Lord and Savior. And,
so that'd be under Pastor Jim Henry, right?
Jim Henry, yes. And I was had the blessing as I started just finished my fifth year on staff with FCA. But when I started, Brother Jim asked me to come down and work with the youth at Downtown Baptist, which used to be First Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that part time, along with my full time with FCA, and so there were a lot of parallels, and so it really connected. So I did that really for these past 5 years as well before stepping away from that role as God really prompted me to stay in my lane. And and we now have an international partner with Chile, and there's more opportunities there to take mission trips and students there. So just my board has grown and staff and just ministry, and so so that's where we have stepped away from that role. But Brother Jim has been just a someone that's been my pastor, but then now a friend and just a confidant and someone that a mentor just for a number of years, and someone I really highly respect.
I had him on my program, and what an enjoyable hour that was, and what a dear man, a man that really loves the Lord, loves listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit in his life. He really is in tune, and even to this day is doing such a marvelous job.
Definitely, yeah, he is, and I remember, stepping out of being a coach into the FCA role, and he was one of my 10 people that I was seeking counsel from and praying for me. And one of the comments he made when I accepted the FCA role is that you'll have a widening influence. And so instead of being specifically at just one school and with working with a team, you'll have influence over, multiple coaches, multiple campuses. And that was something I remember he encouraged me with.
Well, that is a great bit of encouragement to get from a great man of God. And I love him and grateful that you had a chance to do what you've done. Now, you mentioned you were a coach even while you were still in school, in college. Were you a student athlete as well before that, let's say in high school?
Yes, I actually had the blessing to play for my dad. I graduated 1985 from Boone and played with him and played my first year in college, but then I had an opportunity my second year. My dad had stepped away for a couple of years just from some health issues, not real serious, but the gentleman that replaced him asked me to be his varsity assistant when I was 19 years old. And and really at that time I'm in college, but not sure exactly what I'm going to do. But, I've been around coaching, but as I got into it, just knew once I started that was what I was going to be doing. And
what sport were you involved with?
In basketball.
My goodness. I love it.
Yeah.
What position did you play?
I was point guard.
That's great. I'm from Indiana. So I was, I grew up thinking my mom and dad had always told me that the Gerber baby chart said that I was going to be like 6'3". and I hit 5'9", and I stopped growing. I felt like, a friend of mine used to joke with me, and he said, well, you know, the Bible does say that the wicked will be cut off short, and so that's what happened to you.
That's some encouragement from your friend.
Yeah, right. With a friend like that, you know.
That's right.
Who needs an enemy, man? But it was great, and I love basketball, so I never got to play in high school. Too short at my school. There were 530 students in my class, 2,000 students in the high school. And so, yeah, unless I had the jumping ability of a Spud Webb, I was not going to get to play high school ball. But boy, did I love basketball. And if you're from Indiana, you know, all Hoosiers love basketball. That's just...
That's right. That's a state after God's own heart. So.
That's for sure. Oh, my goodness. Now, I know that it's often talked about, the FCA vision, to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. And, you know, we live in a world right now, in a culture, Mark, and it's very, very evident during the COVID year of 2020, when sports really were decimated, we see just the involvement and how important sports to this day continues to be in America, don't we?
Definitely. Yeah. There's so many people that are just either spectators or participants. And it's just part of so many households, throughout America. And it's, a lot of times that can even be put before God. And so that's where you be able to use sports as a vehicle to point people to God is really so vital.
And, you know, in my many talks that I've had with both Don and with Noah, they would both have told me at different points of our talking that from their standpoint and from FCA's experience, when you have a young man or a young woman that is involved as a student athlete, the coach carries such a significant role of influence in their lives, second only to the parents. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that's helped me in this role as being a former coach and knowing the day after day walk that a coach goes through. And be able to empathize and be able to understand that. But I understand, and just knowing that, I remember back when I was coaching at Boone and my 2002. So I guess we're coming up on 20 years. But I made a decision to take my team to an FCA team camp up in Gardner-Webb University, and it was during the summer, and had seven of my players at that camp accepted Christ.
Wow.
And had two other players rededicated their life, and two other players were already Christians. And so on a team at a 3,000 student public high school, I had 11 players were Christians. And I remember coming back, we're getting on the bus, and one of my players just handed me some rap music and didn't have the best lyrics. And he said, "Coach, will you throw this away? I don't want to listen to this anymore." And another player came up, we're riding back on the bus, and came and sat with me and said, "Coach, will you lead us in devotions this year before games? And coach, can we listen to Christian music?" You know, they loved the music they heard at the camp. So we're listening to Christian music during warmups. That team, the year before, we were state runner up in the biggest classification in Florida. And we had three players as we went on played in college. So we were not supposed to be as good. But that little team with our center was 5'10", got back to the state championship, and ended up missed a couple layups near the end of the game, and we lost in a real close game.
Wait a minute. You said the center was 5'10"?
5'10".
And you just shot my excuse right out the window right there, man.
So, yes, we were in a press conference after the game, and, you know, the reporters start firing questions, and probably third question is, how does it feel to lose to the same team 2 years in a row? And I took a deep breath and I said, well, it really doesn't matter if these, you know, medals are gold or silver, they're going to tarnish. And I talked about the FCA camp. And I said, but seven of these young men made eternal decisions and they have eternal rewards, this past summer. And, you know, and after that, I just asked him, I said, "Will you have the guts to write that?" Well, I walked out in the hallway, and a guy named Mike Bianchi, who's one of the top sports writers for the Sentinel, came up to me, and he asked me, I said, "Why do you coach when you only make a dollar an hour?" And I said, "Well, you just tripled my salary. It's really more about 29 cents an hour." And and I said, "You know, as much as I love, I'm pretty competitive, but and much I love coaching, this is my mission field." And so just when I asked my questions, the next day, Sunday paper, it was on the front page of sports, you know, Boone's still winners. And from my understanding, he's an atheist. And as an atheist, he wrote an article better than I could have wrote myself.
Isn't that something?
And yeah, I just started leading. I started speaking, you know, when I would just volunteer, but spoke with up in Black Mountain with Bobby Bowden was the football clinician, and a guy named Eddie Taubenzi was professional baseball player, was the baseball clinician, and I was a basketball, and just led to different opportunities. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, another 15 years later, I'm now serving and working for FCA.
Oh, Mark, that is such a great story, and what a wonderful legacy to pass on even to your own kids. But what you've heard, and that just goes to show the heart that a coach has for his kids. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to a lot of them up in Gainesville on August the 5th at the football classic that they did over at Anthem Church. And it was such a joy to see these guys take such pride in the fact that they're able to work and bring their high school teams. And we're talking about not Christian schools now. We're talking about what you did at Boone. I mean, that is amazing. And so few Christian groups and so few churches would have the openness to work on a secular campus the way FCA does. But it is a gift from God that FCA continues to not only do it, but to do it with excellence.
Yeah.
I'm just proud of you guys, man.
Well, hey, thank you.
Mark Rickman is my guest. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Mark in a moment, talking more about the mission of FCA and his work here in Central Florida. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Talking on the line today with Mark Rickman. Mark is the area director in Orange County of FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And, you know, just generally speaking, Mark and I have been talking about some of the experiences. And before I ask my next question, I got to say that experience of being with Coach Bowden, that had to be with just all of the coaches that I know you've worked with, that had to be a real special time.
It really was. And he has always been gone above and beyond just to be able to support FCA. And even during season, he would fly into town and would speak. And even just in recent days before his passing, he was on a Zoom call with all of our state staff, just really encouraging us and leading and telling stories. And so even to the very end, you know, he was, you know, wanting to use his influence to be able to encourage and inspire and impact others.
Wow. I hope that Zoom call was recorded.
I'm sure it would be. Our state director, I'm sure, he interviewed him, and I'm sure that is somewhere.
That had to be a great privilege. And what a great man of God Bobby was. And we lost a good one, using the words of Cameron Duke, who recently made that mention. He said, "We lost a good one when we lost Bobby Bowden."
Definitely.
Well, this year, FCA is coming up with something called their Pursue Ministry theme. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so each year, our national office spends a great deal of time in prayer and comes up with a theme verse that is used for all of our different camps. And really, the focus is that for that is just to have a general theme that's used both with the Bibles that we give. So at each of the camps that students go to or coaches, they receive an FCA Bible with the word pursue on it. And within that Bible, there's daily devotions. There is different topics that maybe people have questions about, and which will take you to scripture. And but those can be used also as another resource within the Bible that the student athletes themselves are encouraged to get together amongst themselves and to be able to start doing Bible studies. So the pursue theme this year was more is really the focus just on pursuing God, and as we know that He's pursuing us, but really to better understand what that means, to seek and to pursue the one that loves us the most, and to be able to really enter into a deeper intimacy, with our Savior.
I love the verse is Timothy 6:11, pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And I think that is such a great verse to have as a theme. And how cool is it that FCA provides Bibles for all the kids? That's wonderful.
It is. It's incredible. You know, here and just in Orange County, we had, as I mentioned earlier, as a former basketball coach, I started a basketball team camp up at the RDV Sportsplex. That's where the Orlando Magic used to practice. Mm-hmm. And the first year we had 9 teams. The second year we grew to 30, and then we went to 31. And so this year, just with some restrictions, we were at 24, but so we gave out 250 Bibles at this team camp. And so the way it was structured, we had these teams come in. They would play a game, a regulation game. They would come upstairs to a conference room and hear a speaker, and then they would go back down and play their second game. Well, on the middle day of the camp, a gentleman named Frank Renoso came in.
Oh, yeah, Frank.
Share the gospel, and we had 89 kids accept Christ and 112 rededicate their life, and that's out of the 250. And so then really our next steps is, with the character coaches I mentioned in the last episode there is, we will have them follow up with them, our staff member, the coaches. We send out an Excel spreadsheet on all those kids' decisions to those people, and then if we have a church involved, so that way they could have 3 or 4 people, consciously and intentionally working to disciple. So that, that's example of team camp. We have kids that we send over to leadership camp in Lakeland, where we train the student leaders who will come back and then lead our campus huddles during the year. And so that's, we say receive the FCA. The pursue theme is the center point of that camp as well. And then we had another camp for coaches called Coaches Timeout. Jeff Duke, his vision back a number of years ago just to have a time where coaches can take a break. And we had it out at the Orlando Marriott. And they we have a marriage conference as part of that as well. Counselors come in. We have another time where 3D coaching on how coaches can really coach not just on the X's and O's, but how they can better have player relations, but then more importantly, can reach them on a spiritual level. So it's and then also they have a financial advisor comes in and speaks to that. So it's and just a time for them and their spouse to get away for a 3-day, 2-night time. And that's something that we raise support so that we can bless the coaches that they can come and be a part of that.
Mm. That is an amazing thing. And that Frank Renoso was up with us in Gainesville, and he was just an amazing speaker. Both then, I heard him in Stetson back, oh my goodness, I think it was 2017 when he spoke at the FCA camp up there. And I was there that day taking video and got to hear Frank that night, but recently got to interview him, and that man is a powerhouse for God, isn't he?
He really is. He is, in my opinion, one of the best speakers to youth. I said that in front of their day. He said, just to youth? And he has such a story of growing up in the Bronx and just a lot of brokenness and how God saved him and brought him out of that brokenness and has used him in such a powerful way. He's done one-on-one discipleship with Alan Houston, who used to play for the Knicks, and he just now has done. He flies to New York now and does a lot of ministry there, between there and Orlando. And such a faithful servant.
Is he based now in Orlando?
He lives here in Orlando and then goes back to New York with the COVID. I can't keep up with him. I know he's been doing a lot of speaking here with us, and but they've had some, you know, restrictions there in New York with, like I said, with COVID. And so he's been doing more here. He has a house here and I think a house up there as well. And but he was splitting time, but I think between the two.
You know, when you mention person that comes up and speaks to them about even financial things, that's something this year that has changed with students and being able to, for college students to be able to receive something that they've never had before, they can receive payment. So getting that kind of education, that's really important, isn't it, for kids to know how to deal with this thing called money, because it's going to come to them in big ways to a lot of these top level athletes.
It is. And, you know, there's just so many decisions like that, that a lot of the kids just don't maybe have a single parent, and they're trying to work two jobs to keep, and just having people that can help guide them, and just being, a bigger family, and people that have their best interest at heart and that can help provide some guidance and care. It does make a big difference.
You know, we live in a culture, Mark, and you see it every day. There's a lot of resistance to any group at all that stands for God, and there are groups that's trying to stamp out any involvement in any type of government sphere, be it a school or be it in the government itself, to try to just quiet the voice of Christianity. But perennially, FCA just keeps on clicking. How do you explain that to people who are wondering, what is it about FCA that gives that open door?
I think a lot is I'm so blessed to stand on the shoulders of people that have gone before me. You know, Doug Scott was, you know, here in Orlando, you know, our first director, came in the early 70s, and you know, people like him and Del Wright and people that just throughout the country that have really done such a great job of giving FCA a great name. And so I think that because of, you know, specifically here in Orlando, FCA has had such a great, I don't know if tradition is the best word or not, but of really, you know, such a positive influence on high school campuses. You know, yes, I think for an example, they just start opening two new campuses this year in Orlando. And I've already received emails from one, a defensive coordinator at one school, and a teacher, another, wanting to get FCA started at their schools, and they will be involved. And so I think there, and so the principals, you know that they know the history, they know, they see the impact the FCA has had. And so we just have so many open doors, in all, really most all of our schools, to be able to have ministry. And so it's, so it's just, I think that's a big thing, the people gone before us, and the people that have been impacted. There's a lot of people now in these leadership positions where principal or AD or assistant principals, coaches, that the FCA has impacted their life, and they want that at their school.
Now, you mentioned huddles earlier, and that's the weekly meeting that as a club on the different campuses, be they high school campuses or for that matter for colleges as well, I guess. But that weekly meeting, it becomes a real important place, and it's obviously they do more than just have a weekly meeting. But explain what, for our listeners that may not be aware of what a huddle is, what happens there?
Yeah, so a huddle is a time where just the students can come together. It's usually, you know, student-led, so we have student leaders. Typically for our middle schools, they start at 9:30, and so a middle school huddle is usually between 8:30 and 9:30. A lot of times they'll have that hour before school to have a meeting. What it typically looks like is they'll have some type of icebreaker, get the kids, you know, loosened up. They'll have some music, have a student testimony. have some announcements, but then they'll have a speaker that will come in. Sometimes there'll be a student, but sometimes there'll be someone from a church or just a Christian that, you know, just has a testimony. They'll come in and speak, and then you have some questions and at the end and prayer, and then they're on their way to school. So our high schools, some will meet at night. The ones that that have the ability a lot to, the transportation to get back, but a lot will meet during school. So like at Olympia High School, before COVID, we would have 70 kids in one lunch shift and 90 kids in another, and you know you've got about 25 minutes. So we try to have provide some food, and then the speaker is usually 5 to 7 minutes. But one of the things that we do is partnering with local churches to have them come in and even have 4 to 5 volunteers regularly where they can just build relationships with those kids. And the ones that are Christians, they bring their friends and now really point them and have them go to church on Sunday. And so that's where, where they have extended time, with them. So that we have 4 C's of ministry. So I'll just briefly just share. So campus huddles is the first one. Coaches huddles, which is our team ministry, and that's where we work to provide character coaches that walk alongside the team, and we do team ministry. Camps, we're during the summer mainly is when we have kids come to, go to camp, and that's where either get trained or get exposed to the gospel. And then the fourth piece is one that I think is going to be vital moving forward is our community sports. FCA, I'm not sure if it's been spoken about at another time, but is now we're starting a thing called FCA Sports, our own apparel, and we're going to have teams made up of FCA athletes, but also partner with organizations like the YMCA, AAU clubs, and to be able to do ministry with community sports. So if there is a time that that happens where the government comes in and says, no, you don't have access to campuses, the community sports, we can still continue ministry. So our national organization has been so proactive, and now I'm going to a training actually in 2 weeks to learn more about this. So this is going to be rolled out here probably in the next year and a half.
Yeah, I've not heard anything about this. This is very exciting.
Yeah, so it's good, just very cutting edge, and ones that we've had that, but that was probably the 4 is probably been in priority. It's been the 4th. It's some that were because of the ministry started as a in Estes Park, Colorado, as a camp ministry, went to the campus huddles, and now the 3rd thing really went to the individual sports huddles, the teams, and now the community sports piece is really now coming into play more and more.
Mm. That is an incredible vision. And I'm grateful that there are many other aspects. You think about those 4 things that you said in addition to huddles. You have these other issues. One of them is the camps. And a lot of these kids that are coming, and again, these camps are held for all these different ages. But that is maybe the first time that, like you said, they're going to hear the gospel prior to a school year, the summer leading into what would be their first year at a high school or whatever, and they go to a camp and they get a guy like Frank Reynoso that's going to be the camp speaker at a service that night. You get the impact when you see over 100 kids walk up to the altar that night. That in itself is a life-changing moment.
Yeah, and that's where our philosophy of to and through the coach, and that's thing that we're very intentional with. Just building relationships with coaches. So back in March through the May, each of our staff throughout the state was challenged to disciple and walk through with one coach for 12 weeks. So, what I did was work with a guy, David Martinson, who's head coach at Boone now, who played for me back in the 90s. And we went through, had a plan. We went through, just sat had a break period, and we just would discuss scripture and what it meant to him, what it meant to me. And just had that dialogue. So our next step now is David and his coaching staff. We're going to meet for wings on Thursday nights, And I'm going to start leading it, but then eventually we'll turn that over to David and have him leading that with his staff. And then eventually then he'll get, you know, some of his leaders, Christian leaders, and we'll disciple them. So it's making disciples who make disciples.
We're up against a break here. I'll be back with Mark Rickman in a moment. Mark Rickman, the area director for Orange County, the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, my special guest today. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back for a final segment here with Mark Rickman from FCA in Orange County. You know, Mark, we were talking about camps and my experience of going to some of these football camps. I've gone to about three of them and get to see the drills that go on and the camaraderie that is built over sometimes 3 to 4 days. And then in the evenings, such a unique thing to a football camp is that it's like right in the middle of their camp or at the after dinner, they're going to get to hear the gospel, and there's a worship service, and there and many of these kids are hearing worship songs sung by some musician or a band, a local band often, and a message from a guy, again, like Frank Reynoso, who is just so talented at being able to relate to these athletes in such a way that they are convicted and respond to the gospel. These camps, they really do provide something that is extraordinarily a gift to these kids, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I guess just one story. I mentioned earlier about the team I took when I was coaching at Boone High School to camp at Gardner Webb, and that was in 2001. And I remember when I one of my first days on staff with FCA, I called my 5'10 center. His name is Denny, and Denny grew up in a pretty pretty rough area. Had never been to church, and I told Denny. I called him. And I said, Denny, you know, he's 34, 35 years old, and I said, Denny, I just left coaching. I'm going to be working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I said one of the big reasons I felt God called me to do that is I can use my influence to influence other coaches to take their teams to camps and to be able to use their influential platform that God's given them to make, you know, an eternal impact. And, you know, Denny's comment to me, he said, Coach, I wake up every day living for Christ. And, you know, he has a wife and two kids, lives up in Apopka. And that decision he made as an 18-year-old senior now has just impacted his life today. So that's where that impact that a coach can have, you know, not just in those few moments they have with them, those couple years in high school, but how it impacts a relationship, you know, with God eternally, but then how then they influence their family and all the other decisions, you know, that we make in life, you know, getting that most important decision right and made. It's such a blessing, and coaches have such a big influence in that.
Now, you being a basketball guy, you would know the story of the movie The Hoosiers, where Shooter has lived in a very broken way, always looking back on the shot that almost went in. And to a lot of these athletes, you know, if they don't have Jesus, if they don't hear the gospel, they're only living for the sport. It's like you said in our first segment, the medals that they win or the memories that they have, those things are not going to, they're not going to stay present in their life.
Very temporary.
They're very, very temporary. In fact, I was even talking to my daughter last night. We have a grandson that's going to be a senior this year playing basketball. And these 4 years that a kid has in school, that also is very temporary. To see that the gospel be preached and to be accepted, not just to be preached, but to be received by these kids when they're either in high school or even in middle school, and to give them this thing that you're describing that is an eternal, not only an eternal gift, but an eternal life. That's got to be one of the most satisfying and exciting things that you get to deal with in your life.
It is. And I think the one thing that is so important too is that, you know, that decision being made, but the discipleship, and that's where the coaches can come in, and also the, character coaches and the churches, and they can get around these student athletes and continue to help them understand that they they get a God's love letter, the Bible, put in their hands, and where to start. You know, they've never read a Bible, and what does this mean? And that this is their playbook for life. Mm. And so I think that piece is so important too. I heard a pastor recently said, leading someone to Christ and then not discipling is like child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is true. And so I think that's why I really are very intentional as these kids come to know Christ, at trying our best to put them in front of people that can help mentor them, can help disciple them, and help can continue to give them tools to be, to come to know, Jesus, even more in an intimate way on a daily basis.
You know, a lot of our emphasis in the chat has been on the benefits to the kids, to the athletes themselves, but you've also mentioned a great benefit to FCA is to the coaches themselves. And to that end, Noah Wilbanks at the event recently had all of the coaches that were there come up. And man, there had to be, 50 coaches that were there that night, and they lined the entire front of this auditorium, and the kids just went crazy applauding the coaches. So the role that a coach plays in this discipleship process, it's really hard to put a value on that.
It is, and a lot of, just like everyone is in a different place in their walk, and that's why having our staff and people intentionally to come alongside and just to open up communication with these coaches. You mentioned earlier about Jeff Duke. Well, Jeff serves with Cameron as his offensive coordinator at Edgewater.
That's awesome.
I know on Mondays after practice, they finish practice, the players leave, but they go into a sort of a bigger locker room, coach's locker room. And Jeff brings it, buys wings for the coaches, and just opens up the word. And I know I was with them, I guess, last year, and opened up there about talking about, loving and forgiving our enemies. You think about that's one of the toughest things as a Christian that we can do is, people have hurt us, to be able to forgive. And just went around and they have Christian and non-Christian coaches on the staff, and, as a non-Christian, forgiving an enemy is just such a foreign concept. But just to have those conversations, and that's where those things don't make the news, but those are things that are impacting people's lives.
Mm.
And so that's where really our heart is, to be able to multiply and do as many of those as we can. For me personally, being over Orange County, but in Orange County, that these coaches' Bible studies are such a key piece of our ministry as well.
If we have a listener who has a relative that's a coach at a local school that might not be involved yet in FCA, how can they get in touch with you?
But probably the best thing would be we have our website. It's orangecountyfca.org. We have a list of all of our staff members that cover our high schools. We have the high school, and if it's a middle school student, any ones that would whatever their school district would be, that would be the same area representative would be serving that school. So that would probably be the best way to find out. They could go on there. It's real easy to navigate and to find out. So if they're at a specific school, they could reach out directly to that area representative that's serving that school.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that COVID has worked its way into every aspect of human life, it appears, over the last 2020 and now even into 2021. We thought it would be over with by now, and unfortunately, we're still dealing with this thing. How are you seeing the future, the rest of this year and into 2022? How are you seeing this impact affecting FCA and its work?
Yeah, I think, nothing catches God by surprise, and it's something that definitely we had to really spend time praying and trying to understand how to deviate and to potentially go in different directions. And there's things that we've learned that and things that we've done that God's placed on our hearts that have been very impactful. So a couple of those things that back about a year ago, as we're facing, you know, we're in COVID, schools are starting, there's, you cannot have any ministry on campus. But what God put on my heart is to do, we started something on Monday nights called FCA Now. And so what that was is from 7:30 to 8:30, you know, each Monday night, we had different schools that would lead on Zoom a countywide huddle. So we had students from Apopka or Boone or Edgewater or Winnipeg. And so we'd have four to six of the student leaders that would come on. They'd do a virtual icebreaker, a student testimony, and then we'd have another student that would just deliver the gospel. And then what we did was really cool is we broke all the students into different breakout rooms. So you have kids from all different, from all around the county meeting new kids, new Christians, and having three discussion questions. And then they would come back on and, like I said, would present the gospel. And then we had a way they could do a text response if they made a decision, and then our staff could follow up.
Wow.
But the three things I liked about it is you got, you know, the gospel was presented every Monday night. Kids that were moving into the area or was feeling lonely and isolated, now they had the ability to meet new students and, you know, on Zoom. And then we were just, you know, just ways, and we gave students opportunities to lead. So this wasn't adults, so we had the students were leading, so that helped them just develop their, you know, leadership skills as a Christian.
How many kids would join this Zoom call?
It would vary depending on the moment. We usually have between 50 to 75 pretty regularly. So it and we, you know, some they were still in sports, and, you know, so but we offered that, and then we did another thing where we had there's a girl that graduated Boone, was there, ended up being Miss America, Erica Dunlap, had a former player at Auburn that she actually came from the area where I coached, Emily Carasone, who played on the Italian Olympic softball team this year. And then we had Shantae Lowe, who is a four-time Olympian. She has a U.S. record in the high jump, 6'7.5". Had them three. They had a women's night like that, was just specifically to girls. And then we did another one just specifically for the guys, and just, and they were on and fielding questions and with all these high school girls and then boys. So it was pretty powerful.
Oh, it's a positive peer pressure that is so wonderful and so effective. It always has been. But again, I can't think of a single group that is harnessed and really put forward the gospel in a way that it just doesn't seem like it's possible. But you guys do it year after year, and I'm grateful for you. You know, we're just about out of time. Just the website again is fca.org. And then you gave a one for Orange County. Can you give that web address one more time?
Yeah, it's actually just orangecountyfca.org.
That's tremendous. orangecountyfca.org. And Mark Rickman, my guest today on the program. And boy, I got to have you up to the studio at some point. Have you come back up here when things are cranking during this school year? We'd love to hear a new report on how things are going. And until then, man, we wish you the very best as things are cranking in the school year, which has now begun. Hard to believe we're there.
It has.
It's going on and sports are happening. And we wish you the best to all of the FCA coaches and the students. Thank you again for what you're doing for the kingdom of God.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, and just be glad to come on anytime.
Okay. God bless you. And friends, thanks for being with us as well. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.